The following program is a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KBC does not necessarily endorse or support. It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Gervie's Law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC, and I am Alan Gervie. And, of course, I still am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn. And today, I'm still here to be the managing partner of your life. Wow! Has there ever been a lot of injustice in the world this week? And I am here with Carrie Kasem, of course, my co-host, who's had a busy week. Carrie, you look wonderful as usual.
Thank you, because you know we're having a television crew. Should we just say what's happening today?
Whatever you want. I always bow down to you.
Good Morning America is coming in here and is going to shoot us on our show, Gervie's Law. I'm very excited about that.
They're going to shoot us?
I hope they don't really shoot us with, you know.
With the camera?
That's it, Alan.
So you're not looking so fantastic just because you look so fantastic?
Just because I wanted to impress you? No.
You didn't?
No.
Well, you know, we're excited to have Good Morning America shooting us today. But before we get to that, both of us have been in the news all week this week. Not just you, because, you know, yesterday, everywhere I looked, it was all about your dad and his body and where it is. And, you know, I look on every news website, and it was the lead story.
Yeah, it's everywhere again. I was hoping it would die down, kind of, you know. It's unfortunately, when you're dealing with this and when you're dealing with somebody who's just not going to be fair, and it just seems like there's nonstop chaos. You live in nonstop chaos. It's like, you know what? Do what you want. I'm not going to fight you on this. My brother, my sister, we're not going to fight my father's wife. And we just hope that one day we find out where she's buried him. And, you know, when my bill passes, when and if my bill passes,
well,
in January, she will have to tell us where he's buried, because that's part of the visitation law, AB 2034.
And I had a question about that, because I know you have lobbied very hard to get your bill through so that people can see their family members who they've been blocked from seeing.
Yeah.
Does it include after they have died? I mean, are you entitled to know where the person is buried, and can you visit them? Or do you have to start a whole new bill that, you know, where people are blocked from seeing their dead relatives?
No, it part of this bill does incorporate not only children, but relatives and friends.
Right.
And when the person dies, notifying on death, when that person dies, I think you have 24 hours to notify the family, and you have to tell them where they're being buried or if they were cremated. So that is part of the bill.
Okay, and so at this point, because that bill isn't law yet, you don't have that right to go to Gene and say, has he been buried? If so, where? Or has he been cremated?
Right, no. And you know, she's, at this point, I think she just takes pleasure. And, I mean, she's, it's very funny. We've learned not to really, to kind of look beyond what she's saying to hear something different.
Right.
She's told people that, she's going to bury him in France. Oh, she's going to put him in Montreal, Canada. Oh, she's, like, hoping we get upset about it and hoping we say to the press, well, he's going to be buried here. Well, he's going to be. We know that that's just not probably not going to happen. And she's probably buried him here. We have some resources saying that it's possible she did bring him back here and bury him.
And you still don't know.
No. But we will get a court order and we will find out.
You know, I saw that there were three places that he may be buried.
Yeah.
One being in France, one being in Montreal, and one being in Israel.
Right. But when we read that, none of us It's been 34 years of this,
yeah.
So we just look beyond it. We're like, okay, well,
so you don't take it seriously.
No, we don't take it seriously.
You don't think the body is being flown to Israel right now?
No, and I mean, I don't think my dad's ever been to Israel.
No.
And I think he went to Lebanon one time, and that was with me. But he has not traveled the Middle East extensively like I have.
Okay.
And for her to say we're going to just take somebody and just bury them somewhere they've never been before, and she also put on his death certificate that she's been living in Israel for 18 years. So you're dealing with somebody who just doesn't.
She's been living in Israel for 18 years? Wow.
Yeah.
What part of Israel?
Yeah, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Yeah, she's in Jerusalem. So
as long as she's not, you know, in Gaza, because there's a lot going on there, and, you know, we really don't want to talk about that at this point, but it's not a great time.
It's not a good time, and it's just telling that she, on his death certificate, puts that she's been living in Israel for 18 years, and that's where she's going to probably take the body. It's just telling of her. It's just disgraceful to her husband. And to the family.
Right.
And I just, you know, she thinks she's spiting us by doing stuff like this, and it's not. We're just eventually going to get a court order and find out where he is.
Let me ask you this. With that ground beef that she threw at you, was that from Israel or was that from the United States?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll get back to this. And, you know, I feel really bad for you, Carrie, because we know that this topic should have quiet it down, and you should have the respect. Whenever anyone dies, they really deserve the respect after that. They're not living, and obviously Gene has not given you the respect, your family the respect, nor the public who loved your father.
Nor my father. She hasn't respected his wishes or done anything. My dad was very, very worried this would happen, that she would hide him like she hid her mother from her 8 other siblings. She did the same exact thing.
Wait, after her mother died?
Oh,
she
yeah,
did the same thing?
Oh, yeah, this is
thing?
The same thing.
Do we know
same
where her
pattern.
Mother is
I don't,
now?
I never heard of where.
How many years has she been dead?
Ooh. It's funny because we have the same birthday. Her and her mother, yeah. Let's see. I maybe 10 years?
Sheesh.
Maybe?
Wow, so there's a lot of My Weekend with Bernie going on out there where people are walking around with dead people and showing them a great time. I don't understand it myself. We really need to have some respect. And, you know, in Gervie's Law, we want to take negatives and turn them into positives.
I'll tell you positive.
I want to hear a positive.
I'll tell you positive. Since I've been public with this and talking about, you know, everything, so many people have come forward and have told me their stories and have said, please help me. And every day I'm on the phone with somebody, I'm writing somebody a letter back, and this bill, if you are in California, will help you right away in January when it gets passed. Other people now are taking the bill to their states and saying, hey, to their assemblymen, to their senators, saying, we need this bill passed. So it's getting everywhere. And here's another plus ever since I've gone public with this. There are people that call me up and say, hey, I know something about what's going on with your stepmother.
Right.
I know something that's happened. I can't tell you how many people have called me up and said, I have some info about your stepmother. And it's just unbelievable people that want to help.
In the legal arena, Carrie, we call that collecting evidence, and it can only lead to the truth. As much evidence as you can get will lead to the truth, and we will get to the bottom of your story at some point in the future. But I do want to tell you why I was in the news this week. I was involved in a case in workers' compensation with the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, the firm that I am the managing partner of, and the case became it went all over the news. The case is called the Ralph Loynichin case, and it involved a person who had, unfortunately, a brain injury, and the doctors had been recommending psychotherapy and some psychological assistance for Mr. Loynichin. He's been receiving it for about 3 years, and then all of a sudden, because of the new laws that the governor was behind, his treatment was denied through the independent medical review process. So that's not where the exciting part comes. The exciting part comes when the judge who heard the case, I tried the case in front of Judge John Gutierrez in the Van Nuys Workers' Comp Appeals Board, and he came out with an opinion that shocked the state. And here's his opinion. I'm just going to read a snippet from it. He says, in my opinion, it would appear that our current workers' compensation laws were guided through the legislature and devised by a certain capital class and their lobbyists with powerful financial influence who, by their actions, do not appear to value the well-being of injured workers and would rather see the return of the Industrial Revolution and rid capital industry of the responsibility placed upon industry by the bargain, whereby the current law severely limits access to medical care or treatment and would prefer to have injured workers and their affected families place their faith and reliance on charity and an injured worker's rugged individualism in coping with catastrophic economic and residual health effects caused by an industrial injury.
Okay, wow. Put that in layman's terms.
In layman's terms, what he's saying is that Governor Brown and the legislature succumbed to the capital class. That would be the money, the big corporations and big industrial insurance companies, and passed a law that completely violates the rights of injured workers. It is now said that 84% of the requested treatment that goes through the independent medical review, which isn't really independent, is denied. 84% of people who get injured on the job are now not being able to get treatment and are being denied by an independent medical review who we don't know who they are. The law says we don't have to know who the people are who deny the treatment, and there is no due process. There is no ability for the injured worker to appeal the denial, but for the one that I appealed and was, I think, one of the first people to actually prevail. And Judge Gutierrez gave a powerful, powerful opinion, which we're hearing a lot about. And actually, someone in the government said, someone representing Governor Brown said something like, well, we can't control all random judges. When was it the purpose of government to control judges? That's what we're dealing with right here in the state of California.
It's so unconstitutional. It's just like that movie we talked about, Hot Coffee.
Yep.
It really is. If I mean, just horrific things that are happening to people who need help.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who need help out there, and we're going to talk today about the immigration crisis in this country. And we are so privileged to have with us Mayor Nestor Enrique Valencia of the City of Bell, who's going to talk about the immigration crisis, about the women and children coming into this country, and what everyone's talking about. As well, we have Super Attorney Jay Tannenbaum, who will tell us a little bit about immigration law, and we will talk about what we can do. If you have any questions or comments on the immigration crisis, should we let everyone in? Call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Should we let everyone come into our country? We'll be right back.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Burby, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
If you like my show, you can keep my show. If you like this host, you can keep this host. If you like feeling good and loathe getting sick, keep listening to my show.
The Dr. Bob Martin Show, Sunday mornings on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Right now at KABC.com. Miss something on McIntyre in the Morning? Download the podcast right now on the homepage. And get your medical questions answered by Dr. Kipper. Click on the medical show banner on the homepage right now. All this and more at KABC.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gerby and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
And we are back right here on Gerby's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we are talking about the immigration crisis. Should we legislate morality? I know a lot of people have an opinion on this, and we're talking about the children from Central America, mostly from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, who have been escaping the atrocities that are occurring in those countries and coming into this country illegally. The question is, what do we do? Do we take the children and the women who are coming across our borders, or do we send them back? And of course, Obama, President Obama, has been on the hot seat on this, and he's asked for $2 billion of financial support from Congress to help deal with the issue. We are pleased right now to have with us the mayor of the city of Bell in California. And of course, everyone knows the city of Bell for, oh boy, a lot of controversy that took place. And I want to make it clear that was the prior administration. We're not talking about the present administration. That's Mayor Nestor Enrique Valencia, who has been in the news because he has indicated that he believes that the children and the women should be welcomed into this country. And he has even gone so far as to say that the city of Bell should house some of them. I think he talked about 125 immigration detainees should be housed temporarily in the city of Bell. So, Mayor, you are here with Carrie Kasem and Alan Gerby right here on Gerby's Law. Welcome to Gerby's Law.
Glad to be here. Thank you for your invite.
You know, Mayor, I know you came to this country at the age of 4 years old as an illegal alien. Is that correct?
Yes, although at 4 years old, we don't think it's illegal.
Right.
I mean, you know, I take some issue to calling it illegal, but that's just I.
Now, what about, I have a lot of, this is a really heavy topic for people. There are people on my Facebook and Twitter right now just going at each other. Some people saying, of course, let them in. This is what this country was made off of, is illegal immigrants, is immigrants. This is what the country is. And some people are saying, I mean, there's some, you know, I'd say send them back. Help begins at home where it should be, especially our vets. I mean, there's people going at it. What is there anything we can do to maybe reform what is going on in immigration?
Certainly. I mean, not that I would have the answers or the city of Bell would have the answers, but a comprehensive immigration reform is overdue, in my opinion.
Yeah, and so how do you think you're going to house the 125 immigrants? Are you going to ask for the taxpayers to pay for them?
And Mayor, let me just add, there was an article written in the L.A. Times, and apparently a lot of people misconstrued what you were saying about the costs of housing the detainees. Can you clarify the record for us?
Thank you, Alan. I really, and this is one of the reasons I'm here at your station, too. The LA Times, you know, got it wrong. The picture is wrong, too. That's not where the kids are proposed to be sheltered. So the City of Bell is not the Bell Shelter. The Bell Shelter is an independent organization run and operated by the Salvation Army. They come to us and said, you know, we're doing a little project and we're giving you the heads up. And here's our project. We need permits just like any other organization or business in the city of Bell. And we need support, i.e. the letter that we're going to send to city council on Wednesday night. And so I, as a resident and mayor of the city of Bell and an immigrant, immediately said, absolutely. And the city also, through its management and administration, said, we'll do anything we can for you, which is not much. But, yes, the LA Times thought or people would read that article and think that the city of Bell and its residents were going to take on this matter all together. We're not. It is federal funded if the fund or the application gets approved. So I know the residents also have been very loud to me since the article. thinking, you know, it's none of your business, one, and I disagree. It is all our businesses.
So you believe it's all our business?
Well, if you want to ignore what happens economically in this country, you want to ignore immigrants that are working here, then it's not your business. But I find that hard to believe that anybody would ignore this problem.
Right.
I want to know what's going to happen after. Okay, you house them. For how long? What happens afterward?
Yeah, I asked very tough questions, and, you know, I'm known to ask the rude questions, like, you know, how much do you make, Mr. Barbarizo? But I did ask that in, if you will, a meeting we had early on with the folks leading the charge. I was concerned for my community too. I was concerned, you know, of the political aspect, not for myself, but, you know, how we were going to be perceived as a community. I think it's all good, and they answered very well. So the little that I can share with you is that this is, I don't consider it temporary. It could go as long as 3 years.
Okay, so we have Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to Gervie's Law. You're listening to Mayor Valencia, who says, open up the borders, we'll take care of these people. What do you say?
Can you guys hear me well?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Loud and clear from Redding. You're from Redding, California.
Yeah, Redding, California. You know, actually, I originally, and I just want to say I appreciate listening to you guys, and I actually am a former radio personality for KFI. So.
Wow, you got a great voice.
There you go.
I want your voice.
You want my voice in the team right now. Well, I have a pro and I have a con for it, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
My con for it, pretty much, you know, more immigrants for me personally means that there could be more opportunity for terrorism, drug dealers, and other criminals to enter the country. And, you know, that's a big threat, especially of what's going on with America in this day and age.
You know, interesting note that the Governor Perry in Texas said that the children and women over the last 8 months only represent 20% of the, and I'm going to say illegals, but it may not be true, but the illegals that are coming in, and 80% of them may be include what you're talking about, which are murders or, you know, the unsavory that we don't want in our country. Mayor, how do you respond to what Chris has just said?
Well, I don't agree with it, and I don't agree with the question, the premise that I'm saying open the borders. The borders are not open.
Okay.
And there is controls over that. Whether they should be there or not, you know, I'm going to leave someone else to answer that. But certainly, there needs to be a process. You know, when I first came into this country, we were here legally, and we waited a long time to become permanent residence, and then on to citizenship. I just don't think the immigrants, I think the immigrants are processed pretty well. It took me several times to become a U.S. citizen, and I had to learn a few things that even college wasn't teaching me to become a U.S. citizen. So I'm a U.S. citizen by choice. The immigrants do not bring an element, I think, of what, criminality, and what do you say? Terrorism?
Terrorists. Well,
yeah.
I don't know about terrorists.
Gosh.
I got to tell you.
I disagree, too.
I actually am also a former illegal alien, so I am.
He's Canadian.
It's true.
Out.
I know the mayor's a hockey player, so he appreciates Canadians, but I did come into this country without papers. I drove across the border, said I was going for the weekend to Minneapolis, and I never went back. So, you know, I'm not proud of that, but I did get my papers once I was here when I started to go to school and was educated.
That's not why you married your wife, then?
No. No, but I'm going to stay married for that reason.
Okay, but here's the thing, too, and Chris, thank you so much for your call. If you want to give us a call about the immigrant crisis, and should we let them all in? 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. You know, I have a lot of my family immigrated from Lebanon, a lot of them. And I had a cousin, have a cousin still, he's still around, who's a doctor in Florida. He opened up a clinic for low paying, you know, for people that just didn't have a lot of money. And He's doing very, very well, and he was helping so many people. And then, oh, well, you know, he didn't have all the paperwork done right or something was wrong. They were going to deport him. And he's doing so much good for so many people in that area. They want to kick him out. But then you see these people who are members of gangs, who are criminals. There has to be some reform here. This is ridiculous. It makes no sense.
But it's not only that. I mean, we have to look at the law as a larger thing. We talk about morals. I completely agree with the mayor on the moral issue, the humanitarian issue, but this becomes a legal question. We're going to talk about the law with Jay Tannenbaum, immigration attorney, coming up right after the break. So there are a lot of people calling us. This is an emotional issue. 800-222-5222. You are listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we will be right back after the news.
Going back to my sentencing, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite. 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days, but she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite.
.com
859-428-1000. And I was like, oh, that's it, I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks. And one morning, there was nothing there. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000. 859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Midday LA!
Jillian, I have to tell you a story. We just adopted a baby a year and a half ago.
Oh.
Because of your moving story, we named her Jillian.
Oh, now I'm going to cry.
She's named after you, and she's just the sweetest little thing.
Oh, I am crying right now. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Oh, honey, I mean...
I'm speechless.
Yeah. I'm speechless. I can't even believe I'm telling you the story right now.
I wish I had tissues in here. Where are my damn tissues? Dad, I need a tissue. Tito, get me a tissue. You know, my Tito is Lewis, and he's sitting there on his ass. He could care less that I'm crying. I love your... Thank you so much. What a beautiful story, and... I'm thrilled for you, and I just don't know what to say. How old is she?
She just turned 17 months.
Oh, that's wonderful. Imagine if she said, oh, it's a boy.
Midday LA with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips. High noon on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, July 18th through the 21st. With 40% off our paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Traffic first on the board. And breaking news first, only here.
Radio 790
KABC. The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We're back right here on Gervie's Law. I am Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we're talking about the immigration crisis, and we're very happy to have with us right now attorney Jay Tannenbaum of the offices of J.J. Tannenbaum. That's in Encino, and Jay Tannenbaum is an expert on immigration law, and there are a lot of questions, Jay, that we have for you. We still have the mayor, Mayor Nestor Enrique Valencia of the City of Bell, and you've heard his opinions, and we want to hear from Jay Tannenbaum. Jay, first of all, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. The question that I do have for you is, how does this work? If these children and women come into the country, can they be deported right away, or do they have to wait to have a hearing? Is there a way for them to stay in this country while they're waiting for a hearing?
Yes, actually, we've had legislation in this country going back to 2000 to talk about these type of minors that are coming into the country, and they're coming in unaccompanied, most of them. So we've had legislation in place, and basically what it provides, that when they hit the border and they're picked up by Customs and Border Protection, the Border Patrol, they're interviewed, and then they are given, if they find that they have a basic fear of persecution from the country they come from, as long as it's non-contiguous,
right.
Can't be Canada, can't be Mexico, then they are given the opportunity to file for asylum. And that opportunity means that they're given a notice to appear in front of an immigration judge. Now, the immigration judge will not make the determination. Actually, the United States Customs, the USCIS,
right.
They will be the ones that will make the determination as to whether or not they have the grounds for asylum.
And how long does that take?
Well, based upon the numbers that are coming in now, it's going to take quite some time. Usually, we can get a hearing in front of USCIS in a matter of, say, a month or two. It'll take immigration maybe another couple months before they schedule the actual interview. After they read the application, the interview is held. If it's denied, then they're forwarded to the immigration court for further proceedings in front of an immigration judge. So and all along, we're talking about it could take a year.
It could take a year or even more. Mayor Valencia, tell us, what do you think about that? What Jay Tannenbaum has just said, is this what you're talking about, housing these people while they're waiting for a hearing? And if so, who's going to be footing the bill for all of this?
Well, as I understand it, it's the federal government is footing the bill, so you know we're all paying for it. But I think it's part of our democracy. I think it's part of our country. This is a country of opportunity, whether you do well in it or you do bad. There's people like that. I think bring it on. You know, there's a process. This is why this country is great. Whatever it takes to be fair to these children, I think we should do it.
Do you agree with that?
I do. Also, Alan, there is a provision in the law that provides that the government is to bear the expense of taking care of these people until the issue is adjudicated.
Alan, there's just a bit of a difference, too, when you're coming and you're asking for political asylum and you're asking, please don't send me back to a country that could kill me or where I could be killed in. That's a bit different to me.
Carrie, what about the people here who are out of work, people who... you know, who are good citizens of the United States, and these people may be coming in to try and take their jobs or to get money filtered toward them when people in our own country feel that they are struggling, even though it's not, you know, basically due to drug trafficking and guns running.
Right. I believe in reform, and I believe that immigration should be allowed. Most of us got here that way. Most of our families did. There definitely needs to be a reform. Do you think people are coming over here taking other people's jobs? I think we can make more jobs. I think there's opportunity to do that. Right now, yeah, we're having a hard time. But I go back to the fact that there are people here in our own country that don't work, that live off the system. That even if you gave them a job, they'd still rather take the check from the government every day. You have people coming in here that want to work. And I'm not saying right now let everybody in. I'm not saying that because I don't believe in that. I believe that they need to come in legally, and we need to do something. We need to reform.
And Alan, don't forget, this is America where there's capitalism, where there's competition. Therefore, in human resources, there's also competition. If I have, a worker that is not performing, I don't care what his ethnicity is,
right,
or status. Well, actually, I would care. As a corporation, I would worry about his status. But what I mean to say is, an immigrant person could come in and work just as hard. And that's what America has been founded on all these years: is immigrants coming in and just building this country up and up.
Why do the countries that they come from not have the ability to do that for them?
Because they're not as good as the United States. There is no U.S. constitution.
Jay Tannenbaum, tell us from a legal perspective, what's the answer here?
Well, first of all, we have a law called the asylum law. And as long as we have a law on the books, we have to represent to the world that people are eligible to file for asylum if they qualify. So we can't ignore the law to these 25, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people because we think that it's not good for the country. If we have the law, let's follow the law.
Wait, hold on, and I understand that. I get what you're saying, but and I want to say, and I know you don't like this, the illegal immigrants don't follow the law. They don't have, a lot of them don't have insurance, so they don't pay taxes. There's a lot of illegal things going on that people are not following the law. So I understand what you're saying. I do. And we should stay with the laws and we should stick with that. But on both sides, both people, I mean, you have one set of, you have a whole group of people that don't follow the law.
So what are you saying? We shouldn't allow these people that can take advantage of the law in the first place not take advantage of it?
I see what you mean, but I'm having such a hard time with the fact that there are people angry and upset because you have so many people, and I don't want to say they're taking our jobs. I'm going to say no. Our money, our tax, the taxpayers' money are going to take care of people who are not putting into the system.
But that's after the fact. These are people that are arriving at the border, and we are doing what we've asked the rest of this world to do. In the Middle East, in the African continent, during the Second World War, we've always asked other countries to take the refugees. And we have the same ability and the same opportunity in this country, and that's what we're doing. And we're doing it pursuant to a law called the asylum law.
And what about those corporations that don't follow the law? There's corporations that have been caught not following the law.
Oh, I know.
You know, but, you know, let's talk about, too, the veterans and people who do need, who are here legally, if you want to put it that way, or have documents. There's resources for them. You know, I'm hearing that a lot. They go, Nestor, we got people here. We got to take care of our own, they say, you know, and
right.
all that. With that.
Nestor, I want to talk to Daniel. He's in Louisiana, and he's been holding for a long time. Daniel, are you there? Welcome to Gervie's Law. It doesn't look like he's coming on.
Daniel, there we go. Oh,
he dropped. Okay.
As I was saying.
I think Daniel.
Oh, there he is. There
back.
He is.
Daniel, how are you doing? Welcome to Gervie's Law.
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad. What do you have to say about this?
Man, I live here in around Sulphur, Louisiana, and they are bringing in, I think they said, 15,000 people from Mexico to work on one of the local plants around here, and it's going to be a five-year job. They're rebuilding an entire section of the plant, and that's all jobs that they are not hiring the local people that need work and have the qualifications, have the skills, have the training. You know, that's people that's missing out on jobs because they're going to hire these other people that's coming in, and they're not going to pay them as much, but they're going to take whatever they can get. Yeah.
Do you have a job?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're not talking about yourself, that these people are taking your job. You're talking about others.
I'm talking about friends and family that are struggling because they're trying to get jobs, but they can't get them because these other people, you know, say minimum. You're starting out a guy that's local, $15 an hour. Well, if I can pay somebody $8 an hour to do the same job, that's how the local industries are looking at it.
So are you saying,
Daniel,
you saying that because of that, we should not allow these people to stay?
No.
Is this a Bracero program, kind of like the Bracero program where, you know, you come out and you work for a while, then they go back to Mexico? Or are these people that are just willing to work? They're Americans that are Mexican that are willing to work? Because that's what I'm not understanding exactly. They're actually coming in from Mexico? Is that what you're saying?
A lot of them are, Carrie.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of them are guys that are sneaking across that, you know, if you're not careful, hey, you got to sneak inside the plant. They're like letting people in through illegal ways, sliding them in through the twig cords, or if the security's not tight, you know, slip someone else your badge through the gate and let them come on through. And that's not, I mean, it's not safe for us. It's not.
Okay,
it's
Daniel, you make a good point. Thank you for your call. Thank you for listening to Gervie's Law. Jay, what do you think about what Daniel's saying?
Well, I can't address what he's saying exactly because when you talk about Mexican immigrants, it really isn't the issue of asylum. We don't get asylum from Canada. We don't get asylum from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But, Alan, you mentioned about shall we allow these kids and or their mothers to stay.
Right.
You're overlooking, I think, an important aspect of the process. somewhere down the line, these people that have asked for asylum are going to have to qualify. And that means they're going to have to be able to state a well-founded fear of persecution from the country that they're fleeing. That's number one.
Good point.
Then they have to fit into one or of five categories. Now, those categories are political opinion or membership in a particular social group or religion or nationality or because of race that they're being persecuted.
Right.
It is not easy to fit into one of those categories. And to expand on that and the difficulty us lawyers are having in one area are the children or the adults fleeing from these Central American countries because of gang activity and extortion. And our government doesn't recognize gang activity or extortion as being a ground for asylum.
Okay, well, those are really great points, and I can see Mayor Valencia sitting next to you smiling because I think he agrees with you on a lot of the legal points. I think you know, the mayor has made his opinions clear, and we respect that, and I think that, Jay, your opinions and your facts really back up what the mayor has said about the city of Bell. And we, you know, we hope that it all works out for the best. This is a very complicated, very emotional issue. We appreciate you coming in, Mayor Valencia, and good luck with all of this. We hope we've clarified what I think the LA Times got wrong in their article. So
yes,
thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Jay Tannenbaum, you got everyone listening to Jay, you really need to talk to Jay because he knows what he's talking about. You can email him at jtannenbaum.com. That's jtannenbaum.com or call him at 818-907-6600. That's 818-907-6600. Jay knows what he's talking about and he will fight for you. If you are have an immigration problem, just give him a call. Thanks for coming in with us, Jay.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be right back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
What would you do if you or someone you love was diagnosed with diabetes? Find treatment? Of course. But what if that same person was diagnosed with a mental illness? Not as obvious? We want to change that. The National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, works to prevent the stigma that makes living with a mental health challenge more difficult than it needs to be. NAMI California is here to help you or someone you know who's living with a mental illness. Visit NAMICalifornia.org. Support, education, advocacy.
Sponsored by NAMI California, aired by the California Broadcasters.
Are you an avid Eldorado?
I love Larry Elder.
Do you like free stuff?
Who doesn't?
Do you have any plans this Friday? Listen to Larry Elder Friday afternoons for the Eagle Ear Eldorado Exam. Identify the five sound bites from the week, and you can be on your way to one of SoCal's hottest concerts.
Awesome idea for a contest? Check.
The Eagle Ear Eldorado Exam. Only here. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Midday LA!
Do you ever get a pain in your stomach and you think, I don't know if I've been drinking too much, I don't know if I ate something that was bad?
Right.
You ask yourself all these questions. Well, you don't ask yourself the question that Pat Robertson asked on the 700 Club. Listen.
Can Christians be attacked by demons?
He could be attacked by demons. You need to get somebody with you who understands the spiritual warfare, but You don't want some quack in there that's casting up non-existent beings.
You mean like you?
Find your family. Get some people in there and cast the stuff out. But that does not sound like normal.
No, sir, what you just said is not normal.
Don't get a quack, though.
No, do not get a quack to help you get this demon out.
Get some good.
Get some somebody like me. I mean, I'm close to God. I talk to God. You don't, but I can be your liaison.
Midday LA with Jillian Burberry and John Phillips. Afternoons, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gerby's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Kerry Kasem and Alan Gerby.
Wow, Kerry, I'll tell you, I am just really sweating right now. We have had so many calls. Our board is blowing up.
It's a good topic. I mean, you know, on either side, people are very passionate about it.
Everyone has an opinion, and we have people saying that this is about our country, and our country is great because we let people in. And then we have other people saying our country is great, and let's keep it great and not let the people in. I don't know.
Reform. That's the key word of the day. Reform. I think people definitely should be let into this country, but it should be legally, and it should be. Look, I am not happy. I've been hit by people who have had no insurance. It's not fun.
No, it isn't.
And it makes me upset and angry. And I'm, you know, I'm a tax-paying citizen, and it's very hard when you see your taxes going up all the time because you're paying for people that don't have it.
I think it's really important that you separate the humanitarianism and the morality from the law. I deal with the law. As a lawyer, I deal with the law. So we have to make sure that the laws work and that people respect the laws. And if they elect people to pass laws, then we have to live with it regardless
of whether you agree with it or not. No, we have to live with it. We, law-abiding citizens, legal law-abiding citizens, have to live with it. There's a group of people that don't live with the law. And for some reason, it's just okay. And I don't understand that, and I don't like it.
Well, you're involved in the legal process right now because you're trying to get legislation passed to make sure that people who have been blocked from seeing their loved ones can actually go out there and be with their loved ones when they may be incapacitated, like your father was.
That's right.
Are you respecting the legislation process, Kerry?
I'm not only respecting it, I'm winning with it. And there is a way to get things done in this country that's not illegal. My visitation bill, AB 2034, that's authored by Assemblyman Mike Gatto, is making waves, and we're going to help so many people with this. And we aren't going in.
But Kerry,
this isn't an ambush. We're not going to. It's not guerrilla marketing, and we're not going, hey, we need this law, and standing outside protesting. We're going through the right channels.
But don't you think that a lot of people who are actually passing laws on the immigration crisis are also going through the right channels so that they can set up a formula to deal with these people coming across the border in a legal fashion, just like what you're trying to do for your father, obviously, in his memory, and for those who are suffering the same kind of problems that you suffered.
Absolutely, there are people doing it the right way and the legal way, and I applaud them. And that's
all we're talking about. Do it the right way, the legal way. Get laws passed. President Obama needs to turn his attention to this to make sure that we have a uniform policy. Jay Tannenbaum, the attorney who was with us, talked about the law and said all he's trying to do as a lawyer is follow the law.
I agree.
We don't agree on anything.
We agree.
What about, and by the way, I want to thank everyone for calling. We can't get to all the calls we wish we could. If you have any comments, go to our Facebook page, Gervie's Law, and you can talk and you can comment and we will get back to you. But let's talk about breaking the law. Let's talk about your stepmom, Jean.
Yeah.
Hasn't she broken the law? First of all, she takes your father out of the facility and takes him on this wild goose chase and then basically allows him to die without the proper medical and the proper treatment regimen that would keep him alive.
Well, that's why there's a criminal investigation going on. And that's not, you know, I filed for
There's a criminal investigation?
There's a criminal investigation going on right now because of that. That has nothing to do with the bill. And it's completely separate.
Is she hiding your father's body because of the criminal investigation?
No, I think if there was no criminal investigation, in fact, I think if he would have died alone in the nursing home that she had put him in,
right.
We would not know when he died. She would have kept that from us as long as she could have. And she would have done the same exact thing. And that's play these games of, oh, I'm going to take Casey's body and put him in France. I'm going to put him in, I think there was Montreal, Canada.
Right.
I'm going to bury him in Jerusalem where she says she's been living for 18 years. This is what we've been dealing with for 34 long years. And
have you ever visited her in Israel? No. I don't get it. I don't understand how someone can get away with these falsehoods. Why did
she's not going to get away with it? And you know, it's just she's not going to get away with it. And I don't know what she's thinking. And I don't know why she keeps playing the game she does. And she thinks she's upsetting our family by doing this. And I think there's a thrill almost like, let's tell the kids and let's tell everybody we're going to bury him here and there. And I'm sure he's probably buried right here in Los Angeles.
But you don't know.
No, but
you
we
have
will
no
get,
idea.
We will get a court order and we will find out where he is.
Do you expect to see her in handcuffs at some point in the near future? Will we see her arrested?
You know, I don't know. What we're doing now and what the Santa Monica PD is doing now is collecting all the evidence. And let me tell you, the people that are coming out of the woodwork,
right.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable the trail of destruction this woman has left. And I don't think people are very happy about it. It's not just the kids here. It's not just my dad's family or my dad's friends who she has done this to. It's a long wake of people. Yeah.
And what kind of things are they gathering? I mean, I just want to know what kind of evidence are you putting together to put her behind bars?
Well, first of all, the trip that she took my dad on, her vacation, and I've talked about this so much, but it went from him being healthy in a nursing home she put him in, me and my sister getting to see him.
Right.
For one day after 5 months of her moving him around. But then she rips him out of there 2:30 in the morning because we got a visit. She then moves him to her house. From the house, she goes to Nevada. She stayed at the Vidara Hotel for 3 days.
Right.
We know this. She then goes to Arizona to look for a hiding place.
Wow.
Can't find a hiding place in Arizona.
And she was dragging your
dragging
dad
my dad
all this.
In the back of
you know,
a car.
Very...
Yeah. No, wait. Hold on. It gets better. From Arizona, she goes back to Nevada and then calls people that she knew in the 60s, that her parents knew in the 60s, and takes them to a small town in Washington, people my dad never met in his life, sitting in a hot, sweaty house without proper medical attention. He dies 2 weeks later. And
wow.
You're telling me that she has nothing to do with it? Mm-mm.
And we had your attorney, one of your attorneys, Martha Patterson, right here on Gervie's Law last week on Talk Radio 790 KBC. She said that he was abused. It was elder abuse. And she's an elder abuse expert saying that, yes, there is evidence to put Jean behind bars for what she did to your dad. And now the fact she's hiding the body.
Well, I mean, it just shows what her true motives are. It shows how much respect she had for my father and his family. And it's a big fat zero.
Yeah. This week we hope we're going to have good things. Gervie's Law is all about turning negatives into positives, and we hope that this week it's going to bring with it some good news for you.
Thank you, Alan. I'm sure, you know what, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will.
This has been a blockbuster show on Gervie's Law right here on 790 Talk Radio KBC. Carrie, thanks as usual for being with me, and it has been a blast. Visit us at Facebook. We are there to help you, and we will be here next week with another show. Carrie, have a great week.
You too, and if you're going through the same thing I am, go to CaseyCaresFoundation.org.